Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God that we think about and learn from this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as one of the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Leave us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Jesus came with authority, and he taught with authority, not as one of the scribes. Jesus' teaching was different. It's too bad if you're one of the scribes, right? There's a recent fad right now to retell fairy tales from the supposed villain's point of view. I don't know if you've seen the book that tells the story of the three little pigs, but the wolf isn't trying to eat them. He's just trying to borrow a cup of sugar, but he has bad allergies and they're misunderstanding him. Or Wicked, you know, the Wicked Witch of the East or West, Wicked Witch of the West, right? Not really wicked, just misunderstood and just trying to protect the animals. Well, what if we think along that lines a little bit for this account, kind of think from the scribe's point of view. Here he is, working hard at a thankless job, year after year, trying to remain faithful to teach and preach the Word of God. And then here comes this guy, acts like he knows everything, teaching new things. Everyone loves him, everyone follows him. It's easy to see why the scribe might get a little bit jealous, a little bit upset. Why aren't you teaching the books of Moses? Every time I read this passage, I'm always tempted to immediately try and compare my teaching, my preaching, to try and think, well, you know, well, what would Mark say about me? Am I preaching dull, repetitive, boring, same old stuff? Kind of like that. We assume that scribe is doing, or dynamic, new, exciting, more like Jesus. There's that sinful competitiveness that always comes out, at least in me, fairly easily. A lot of us have that problem. But the problem with that kind of thinking, the problem with kind of that view of the scribe might well have took at the time, is that it's not about competition. It's not about what the scribe is doing, is it? It's about Jesus and his authority. When Mark makes that comment, not as one of the scribes, he's not trying to portray the scribes as the bad guys who aren't doing what they should be doing. That's not the point. The scribes were doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing. The point is that Jesus was something different, something new. The point that Mark is trying to make is that Jesus is not just another pastor, just another scribe, just another rabbi. That's what a lot of people want to make out of him, maybe a little bit better, right? He's just a scribe, but he's just better at his job. And we have a tendency to kind of read that into Mark's comment here. That's not what he's saying. It's telling us Jesus is something completely different. The scribes don't have the authority to do what Jesus did. Like I said, their job was to take God's word and share it, to read. They're scribes, right? They're supposed to read. That's what a scribe does. The same thing is true for me. I am one of the scribes. That's my job. to teach and preach the word of God that has been given to me. But Jesus was something different. We see that in our Old Testament reading in Deuteronomy that he was foretold as the prophet who came with authority. The authority of the scribes, the authority of the pastor is an authority that is derived from the word of God that we read and explain. And we have authority only insofar as we are repeating to you the message that Jesus has given to us. Jesus has the authority to teach and to preach what is new, to teach and preach more, to explain the scriptures on a deeper level. And what a wonderful thing that is, that he is the prophet, he is the teacher. We don't have, you know, a 20, 30, a million different prophets and teachers every year explaining new and different things. And we'd have to run around all over the world trying to learn from this guy and that guy and that guy. Instead, we have one who had authority to teach and has given us his teaching, has given us his word, and many scribes. It's not a competition. And it's a good reminder to myself, right, that my purpose in life isn't to teach new things. And it's a good reminder to you as a congregation that what to look for in a pastor is not the most exciting thing, but one who simply shares the same word of God. Jesus is the one who has the authority to teach the truth of God. And he shows that, he proves that he has that authority when he continues to show that he has authority even over the demons. By showing that authority over the demons, he shows that he is that prophet, that son of God. This passage, and many others like it, accounts when Jesus shows his authority, his power over demons, are probably far more appreciated in Africa than they are here. Maybe a little too much in Africa. When I was in Togo, Lomi in Togo, Pastor Cussie and I went to an evangelism meeting, and he, you know, rented the screen and rented the projector and the big speakers, went to this village kind of on the side of the road, put everything up, started a movie. The idea is all the villagers are like, oh, cool, free movie, come and watch. The movie was in, it was either in Awe or French, one of the two, I don't remember which, but it was in a language I didn't understand anyway. I couldn't really understand what the people were saying in the movie, but it was pretty easy to follow the plot just from what was going on. It started with skipping back and forth through this African village, different scenes, and each scene a different family or a different group of people, and these different groups of people all had different problems. So one, there's two sisters fighting, another one, some guy was stealing, another, I think there was murder even. But in every scene, kind of up above the person who was doing wrong was, you know, a demon kind of been added in, animated in there, because it was the demon's fault, right? Every time we fight with our sister, it's not me, it's the demon who did it. So it starts with these different scenes of the problems that the demons are supposedly causing, and then along comes a pastor, a wandering pastor who comes to the village, and he starts literally zapping the demons. There's, you know, blue lightning coming out of his hands, a lot like Emperor Palpatine, right? Getting rid of them. And after the movie, I went up to Cussie. I said, Cussie, what is this? Where's Jesus? Where's the gospel? Where's the forgiveness of sins? And this is not such a great movie. Pastors aren't Jedi Knights who go around zapping people with blue rays. Because he said, well, this is what the people need to hear. They need to know that Jesus can protect them from the demons. This is what they're afraid of. This is what they worry about. Well, it's good to teach them that Jesus does have a power and authority over demons and can protect them from demons. That's true. We do want to teach them that, but we need to get the more important things in there. The forgiveness of sins and that It's not just the demons that are the problem, but our own sinful nature. And Jesus came to forgive us our sins. So they have a problem going a little too far, always blaming demons, always focusing maybe a little too much on that. But we have the opposite problem. We don't really think about demons. We don't really think that they're a threat. We maybe don't even really think they're all that real. We have a problem just kind of downplaying the very serious threat that they pose. And I don't bring it up because I want your children staying awake all night worrying about demons or afraid of them. In fact, the account proves very much we don't have to be afraid of them. It shows Jesus is the one who has authority over them. We see this very clearly in the account. In fact, in Mark's account, Mark leaves something out, a little detail that Luke adds. Mark tells us that the demon, when Jesus told the demon to come out of him, the demon convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice. He kind of put up a little bit of a fight there before he came out. But Mark adds a little detail. He says, but he did not hurt the man. The demon didn't want to come out. The demon wanted to hurt the man, but he couldn't. This man was under Jesus' protection. And even though he threw him around a bit and kind of threw a temper tantrum, he was not able to hurt this man. Jesus' authority and Jesus' power was protecting him. Like I said, I don't mention this, I don't bring this up in order to scare your children or you, but to point out the very real threat that demons pose so that we can appreciate the power of our Savior and His protection that does surround us every day to keep this threat from us. It reminds me of the story of the children in the wilderness when they didn't think that snakes were really a problem. After all, in 20 years of wandering, they'd never seen a snake or had a problem with them or been bitten by them. Why should they worry about them? Then they complained to God. God said, okay, I've been protecting you. That's the reason the snakes haven't been harming you. I'm removing that protection. And the camp filled up quickly with snakes biting and killing. But we often don't really appreciate Jesus' protection because we have it. Because of His love that surrounds us and protects us. Jesus comes with authority. The authority to teach God's word and the authority over demons. We see that both aspects of His authority in our text, but we also see man's reaction to that authority of Christ. We see it in four separate groups. Two of them explicitly mentioned in our text and another two that are kind of there in the background, even if they're not actually mentioned. And the first reaction to Jesus' authority is that of the demon. The demon knows exactly who Jesus is. He knows exactly how much authority and power Jesus has. And he reacts against it with rage and with anger. Like a child throwing a temper tantrum because they don't want to eat their peas, broccoli, or whatever. Many people react just this way to God's authority. God's word tells us something we don't want to hear, and we know that God does have authority over us, but we don't like it. And we throw a temper tantrum. No, it's not okay to get a divorce. No, it's not okay to fool around before you're married. No, it's not okay to go and worship wherever you want and with whomever you want. No, it's not okay to waste God's gifts that He's given to you on gambling and on the lottery. They're just some examples of things that people don't like to hear. We don't want God telling us what to do. Sure, we love to come to church and hear about His love. That's great. Not about His authority. Not about His commands. Not when He's telling us that we are doing something wrong. Well, that's offensive, right? So often we find a reason to be offended at God's word instead of listening to the truth and accepting that authority he has over us, we rage against him. Maybe not out loud, but often in our hearts. The second group is the people who heard his teaching, who saw his authority, and were amazed. And that sounds like a good thing. But we know the rest of the story, don't we? We know what happened later. But sure, they loved Jesus when he was kind of new and fresh and exciting. Something different. Oh, that's great. They loved Jesus when he was performing miracles, spectacles for them. Like, hey, we got free bread here. He's healing, healing our diseases. That's great. They liked his authority when it was something new and exciting. They liked his power when it was a spectacle for them to watch, but they were not interested in going beyond to the greater gifts, to the deeper authority and power that Jesus has, not just to heal physical diseases, but to heal our spirit and give the forgiveness of sins. And again, so many today, all they care about is what's new, what's exciting, who's the most dynamic preacher. They don't, or who's telling them how to have a good life on this earth. I love to hear the Jesus who provides food and clothing for them, but they don't want to go beyond to the greater gifts of God, the joy that we have in the forgiveness of sins. Third, we have the scribes. And as I said before, in our text itself, they're not doing anything wrong. Mark isn't making them out to be the villain. They're doing what they were supposed to be doing. However, once again, we know the rest of the story, don't we? We know how so many of them did do exactly that scenario I outlined at the beginning. Instead of rejoicing in Jesus as the fulfillment of that Old Testament prophecy, as the prophet who would come and teach them, instead of rejoicing in the wonderful works of God that he did and how he led them into a deeper and richer understanding of God and his grace and who he is, instead of rejoicing in that, they grew jealous. They rejected Christ's authority for the simple reason that they wanted the fame. They wanted the glory. They wanted the adoration of the crowds for themselves. And fourth, we have the disciples, who, as I mentioned, are not mentioned directly in our text, but we know they were there. In fact, this text, verse 21, picks up just the verse right after where we left off last Sunday. Remember, we had the calling of four of the disciples. Andrew and Peter, James and John. And then this is the next verse. Just a couple days later, they go into the synagogue to preach and teach. And Philip and Nathanael are probably there as well. The disciples were there. They heard and saw the authority of Christ and his power. How did they react to it? Oh, we have the words of Peter. Where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Their reaction was, who cares that we are wandering around without a house or a bed? Who cares that all the glory is yours, Christ? Who cares that we are suffering with you? That's not what's important. What's truly important, Peter says, is that you have the authority to teach the word of God and to give the forgiveness of sins. Jesus came with authority. The authority to teach the Word of God, lead us deeper in that understanding of who He is and what He did. And the authority to protect us from every evil, from all harm and danger. But most importantly, He came with the authority to forgive our sins. So that when we, as we often do, react to His authority like the demons or like the people or even sometimes like the scribes, jealous of the fame He has, wanting that for ourselves, we know that we can turn to Him and confess our sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive us. To forgive us and to welcome us into His kingdom, teaching us to live in truth and holiness and righteousness. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.